Brethren, let's open our evening devotional service with the use of Amazing Grace. The music will be on the screen for you. Let's all rise and we'll ask Brother Ron Qualick to open our meeting with a word of prayer.
Dear Father, we come before Thee once again at this time, standing before Thee through no merit of our own, but through the merit of Thy Son and Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the day that Thou hast given us, the spiritual table that Thou hast set before us, and the temporal table that we have just enjoyed in the fellowship. And we now look to Thee for Thy further opportunity to worship Thee in praise and song at this season of thanksgiving. We are thankful that we have the opportunity to praise Thee and thank Thee daily, but especially in the service to follow, we ask Your blessing. We do pray for Your children the world over, those going through the trials and experiences of this life, and especially at this time, we'd like to remember our brother Ron, and also in the petition of our sister Modica, that Thou would be with her as she looked forward to the experiences that stand before her, that she might be strengthened. And likewise, all Thy dear ones who are going through the trials and physical infirmities of this walk, we pray for Your continued guidance and direction. We pray for Thy forgiveness where the flesh creepeth in. We do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You know, as I listened to the discourse this morning and also the study, both studies, I had the impression that all of us were kind of geared up for Thanksgiving, that it was on our minds, that something that a number of us had mentioned a few times. And we've entitled our devotional this evening, A Season of Thanksgiving. We'd like to spend the next hour together quietly meditating on some of the things that each of us has to be thankful for to the Lord. The first hymn that we sang, I thought, was especially appropriate. The grace that has been shown upon each of us is probably the most important thing we have, to be thankful to the Heavenly Father that He would look upon us with grace and mercy and kindness and love. At this time of year, we know that our country has set apart a special day of offering thanks to God for the many blessings we enjoy as a nation as well. The American poets have written about it. They've written songs about the blessings of this country, and we believe that truly God's hand has blessed this nation. We believe that He was responsible for bringing it into existence, and we believe that He has used this country as one of the stepping stones in the preparation for the kingdom. The forefathers of this country who fled Europe and other countries from some of the tyrannical rule and the religious oppression, they really saw a vision of how life could be, where brotherhood was the fundamental building block of a nation. And as those principles grew to form the constitutional basis of our laws, the world really turned to America as the light bearer of a better way, as an example of what a government for the people and by the people should be like. The ideals on which this country is founded is something that all of us, I think, hold very dear. And they have seen it as well. And they've written words like this: O beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassion stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Those words to me just bring a lot of emotion and good feeling. But over the past 200 years, we've seen that the ideals of the country have often been compromised. They've often been avoided, and many times they've been outright cheated. We've seen America as an example of pure desires without the ability to see those desires perfectly carried out. Because of the natural faults which come from a system that was created by fallen men, we understand that even this system must give way to a new and better arrangement. We're glad that America has a day of Thanksgiving, and we hope that each person in their hearts will find real gratitude to God for His blessings. Brethren, as we join in offering thanks, we look beyond America. We look beyond the wealth and prosperity of the country, beyond the liberties. We look beyond the things that have made this truly a great nation in the eyes of the world and by their standards. In our thanksgiving, we look to a very fundamental truth that you and I and all intelligent creatures have to be grateful for. And one of the first areas of gratitude, and this might seem very elemental and things that we don't even think about because it's so fundamental, is the very existence of our Heavenly Father, an incomprehensibly intelligent, loving, and all-powerful Creator. Not only is He responsible for the creation of all material things, but the way He has arranged the order and discipline of the universe is equally important. Just think for a moment, if it were possible for us to live in a universe without God, without His laws guiding all things, what would it be like? It would of necessity be dark, empty, and without any real goodness. The physical laws that He has ordained, they've given order and stability to what otherwise would be chaos, danger, and fear of every passing moment. The knowledge that our Heavenly Father holds the universe in the palm of His hand, and He has the ability and the desire to keep order, is a great comfort and assurance to us that our universe was designed to support life, that life isn't just a fleeting phenomenon in the universe, that it's not just a cold, lifeless region of space And so we thrill at the prospect of seeing the universe inhabited with life. Life that will sing the praises of Him who created all things. As we discussed earlier today in one of our studies, along with these physical laws that guide the universe, God has also established moral laws. If a supreme being with the highest possible moral standards did not exist, how would we ever know right from wrong, even in the simplest things? We've seen that real happiness can only come as it's conformed to righteousness. Because of that important moral aspect of God, we can be sure that our efforts to love righteousness will be blessed. And as we make righteousness an important part of our lives, we come closer to that moral image of the Creator. It's our privilege to praise God for who He is, for what He has done, and for what He stands for. Let's listen to the psalmist as he speaks praises to the Heavenly Father. Psalms 148, we've asked Sister Alice Schneider if she would read that for us.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord.
Thank you. Now, I think probably each of us has had a struggle in our lives trying to appreciate the greatness of the Heavenly Father. It's just so far above us. It's just so difficult to conceive of His greatness. But as we do that struggle, and as we try to understand who He is and what He stands for and the other things, I think we begin to feel like David here. We begin to want everything to praise Him for His true greatness. Let's sing, How Great Thou Art. And after we sing it, we're going to ask Brother Art Jesuit if he would lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the Heavenly Father, for His wonderful creations, for His goodness, and all the wise laws that He has placed in command of the universe. How great Thou art.
Thank you. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence grateful to thee for thy love and thy goodness on our behalf. We thank thee for this particular season of the year that the subject of thanksgiving comes. It's something that we have in our hearts daily, but we bring it to the forefront, particularly at this season of the year. We particularly thank thee for the country we live in and the peace and quietness that we can meet together and worship thee and sing praises to thy name. We thank thee for thy greatness our soul sings out to thee, for thy greatness and goodness on our behalf. We appreciate this and we thank thee especially for the gift of Jesus, who affords us life and we can have life the more abundantly by serving thee and thy people. We pray that we may in some way show our gratitude by thanks to thee, by likewise reciprocating, showing our love and our appreciation to thee by serving our brethren and the truth more acceptably. We're mindful of those also that are in special need of thee at this time, thanking thee that thou is through thy Son their burden bearer and helping to carry the more difficult experiences in life. Help us to be some assistance to them also. We continue to look to thee in the days ahead, and we thank thee for thy mercy and thy goodness. Again, through Jesus we pray. Amen.
There's another area of thanksgiving that we sometimes overlook and take for granted, probably because we're so used to it, and that is the privilege of life. It's something that we reflect on usually at funerals or in a hospital room. But really, it's the most precious possession that we have. For what good is anything if we don't have life? What good is a home if we can't see it, enjoy it, and share it? What good are friends or family if we can't see them or touch them or talk to them? Of what value is a symphony if we can't hear it? Of what value is beauty if we can't see it? Of what value are even good thoughts if our minds sleep in death? Life is intrinsically connected with everything that brings blessings to us. God didn't have to give us life. There was no law or rule of justice demanding that he share that precious gift with us. But he did. And with that life, he gave us things that would please that the senses of it. For our sense of smell, he gave flowers a sweet scent. He put beauties everywhere around us for our eyes to take comfort in. For our minds, he gave questions to search and probe because there's satisfaction in the search of knowledge. He created life in its many forms, from the tiniest amoebas of the earth to the mighty angels that do his bidding in heaven. Mankind, living somewhere between those extremes, has the privilege of appreciating life in both directions and being part of God's truly magnificent handiwork. You know, it seems like sometimes life is almost too hard for the effort, that the burdens that we carry make us very tired of life. Life seems sometimes just as our time of burden bearing, but that's not how the Lord intends life to be. It's true that everyone is under the burden of sin and its effects, and it's true that God justly put us there. But it's also true that God will remove those burdens someday. Only he could remove the effects of the fall and restore life to what it was originally designed to be like. Happiness, contentment, prosperity, peace, and joy, these are parts of life that God has intended. All the highest ideals and goals of every generation will pale in comparison to the life that God has in store for humanity. If only we could realize that more fully, I think that the burdens we carry today would seem much lighter. If only we could more fully realize that God holds tomorrow, and that in his plan he has designed it to be greater than our fondest desires. He He's a God of happiness and life. That is the reality of his plan, not the gloominess that so many perceive today. And we speak of faith as part of our part in living. But we also speak as God, as being faithful, but in a different way. He makes promises, and he's faithful to keep those promises. He says something, and he's faithful to his word. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, according to Lamentations, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We'd like to sing that now, Great is thy faithfulness. And after the third verse, we'd like to have another prayer offering thanksgiving for that privilege of life and the blessings of the life to come and the faithfulness of the Heavenly Father. And we'd ask Brother Walter Jurek if he would lead us in that prayer after we sing this hymn.
Our loving Father, as we come before our throne of grace with thankful hearts, Father, that thou hast shown thy faithfulness unto us, and that through thy action that we may be redeemed, and then also that we may be strengthened, and we see thy mercies upon our fallen self, that as we fall by the wayside, we know that thy strength and mercy has helped us to try to overcome again, knowing that thou would not forget thy children. And we pray that as each day we come through, that knowing that it's only through thy mercies and through thy love that we are able to sustain from one day to another. And we desire that thou would continue to be with each and every one of thy children, wherever they may be, that upon the strength thy word that thou hast shown unto us, that and shown thy mercy unto us, that we may continue to strive, knowing that all these things are as a gift from thee. We do reckon, Father, that in our inability, that we can continue in this race through thy strength, through thy love, through thy word, that we may continue. And as the beauty of these things has been revealed unto us, and we are especially thankful for that, that we can see that it is that thou art our Father, and that through thy sacrifice and through thy Son, that we can become worthy before thee. And so we not only praise thee, Father, but we continue to thank thee for each day, for each strength, and pray that thou would continue to be with each and every one, especially according to their needs, if thou would fill them with what they lack, that their eyes may continue to glorify thee. For we ask all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
A third area we would like to consider in our season of Thanksgiving is the area of family. Again, an area that we often take for granted because many of us are used to having our family members around. It was the Heavenly Father who established the family arrangement, and there are excellent reasons why it is the best possible arrangement for us. Through a mother, a child often gets the tender, sensitive, emotional sides of life. Through a father, a child often gets the practical, problem-solving abilities. Through a brother or sister, a child gets friendship and someone to try new things out with, to play with, and to grow up together. It's in the well-balanced influence of all these that a child grows to be a balanced person with balanced emotions, with a sensitive nature, with practical abilities, and one who knows how to be a friend. In our discussions of family, I think that we can probably all say that at one time or another, we have not appreciated our family members enough. Our mothers who carried us as babies, who nurtured us as children, who worried about us as teenagers, need to be told that we love them. They need to know that we appreciate all that they've done for us. And our fathers need to know that too. For many of us whose parents are no longer here, this is not possible. But for those of us who still have the opportunity, we shouldn't hesitate to express our appreciation for the many gifts they've given, the sacrifices they've made, and the heartaches they've felt on our behalf. Appreciation of this sort can only bind us closer together in a special bond that was intended by the Lord. Along this line of family closeness comes our relationship as brethren. And this, again, is certainly one of the greatest areas of gratitude that we should have towards the Lord. What a blessing that we have each other. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had to walk the narrow way all by ourselves? What would our studies be if we didn't have each other to help us see points of truth? How would our reasoning be distorted if we didn't have others to balance our thinking? What a blessing when we find that our weakness is another's strength, and when our strength is another's weakness, because then we can balance each other and help one another. What joy when we share the pinnacle of a mountaintop experience. what emptiness there would be to stand there alone. What precious memories to have children in our Bible classes become servants of the Ecclesia, to see the child grow into a mature Christian, to water and see growth. The Lord has inbred in us a need for one another. It's not just a need of the younger for the older, but so often we've seen that the zeal of youth inspires the old pilgrim to renewed determination. Each segment has its place, for a body fitly joined together with every joint, supplying according to its measure. In Philippians 1:3, the Apostle Paul says that I thank God for every remembrance of you. And I thank God for every remembrance of you, brethren, for in the many times you have helped me in the narrow way, and the examples you have been, and how you've helped me see what to do with my life. We'd like to call on Sister Barbara Jesuit now to read the words of hymn number 23, Christian Fellowship. Again, we sing it so often, but maybe without the music, we'll listen to the words more closely.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Blessed are the sons of peace whose hearts and hopes are one, whose kind designs to serve and please through all their actions run. Before our Father's throne we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, oh, may this mutual love encourage every fainting heart his zeal and faith to prove. Our glorious hope revives our courage every day, while each in expectation strives to run the heavenly way.
That, brethren, is a description of a spiritual family. What role do brethren play in our lives? Well, probably depends on each of us, probably different for each of us. But it seems that the Lord uses the brethren so often to be comforters in our life, to be encouragers along the narrow way, to be problem sharers, to be study helpers, to be motivators of one another, and sometimes simply just to be our friends. We'd now like to call upon Brother Erwin Kalinske if he would offer a word of thanksgiving for our brethren, our spiritual family.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you at this time to be thankful for all the blessings that we have received this day. And we also like to express our appreciation for all of the brethren that we have known, for their wonderful example that have passed beyond. And we certainly think many times of all of the wonderful things about their characters and all the admonishment that we receive from them. And now we are also very thankful that it's more difficult to express our appreciation for our brethren who are living. But we would like to be very thankful that we have our brethren with us and for their example and their zeal in serving you. And we're very thankful that we could see different characteristics in each of our brethren that would help round out our characters, and we would see that we're lacking in certain areas, and we could see this displayed in our other brethren. We appreciate the comfort that they give us. We appreciate their faithfulness in attendance. And we appreciate all of the wonderful things that we could think about them in a positive nature. And now we express our appreciation for all of our brethren throughout the world on a larger scale that we don't see every day, but yet we appreciate their loving zeal for the Lord and their determination to serve you, that we appreciate this very much from the standpoint that we know that you understand all of their efforts and zeal in serving the church in different areas. So we ask all these blessings in our dear Redeemer's most precious name. Amen.
Another area of tremendous gratitude is for the high calling. Again, if we could only fully grasp what the high calling entails. What is a divine being? What is heaven like? What will it be like to stand in the presence of the Almighty and His Son, to speak to His angels, to see close up all the worlds that He's created? What will it be like to have the power, the wisdom, and the love to be of real value to God in this universe? All those answers will be ours someday, if we take the lessons of today and become Christ-like through them. Brethren, it's not just the calling, it's the high calling, the highest calling ever made to anyone, anywhere. It entails great humbling before exaltation, the learning of great wisdom before the granting of any power, and the learning of the lessons of death before the receiving of immortality. The gospel age we know as the church's age. It's a time when the Lord is dealing personally with His people. He doesn't ask us to sacrifice, to be transformed in character, without giving us all the necessary assistance to accomplish those things, because they're very difficult goals to accomplish, things that we couldn't do if left alone. And so He asks us to be like sheep, following the directions of a shepherd. The special privileges we have now ahead of the world shouldn't make us feel arrogant or exclusive from the world. We have to realize that we are only part of a larger fold, and that if faithful sheep now, then in the kingdom we will be made shepherds of others. Let's join together in singing hymn number 257, Savior, Lead Us.
Thank you.
I like when we have words like that on scenery that depicts the grandeur of His creation, because it kind of gives you an overall perspective of the Creator of all this is willing to deal with us who are nothing and worthless and useless in many ways, and yet He condescends to us because He sees that there is value there, that He can elevate us and make us useful to Him. That, to me, is thrilling. Now, as Bible students, we have many, many answers, probably more doctrinal answers than anyone else in the world. But we really don't have all the answers. So many times we hear in testimonies that we're not sure why the Lord is permitting these certain experiences. I know I've said that myself. So what do we say when experiences aren't clear to us? Where do we go when there's no "thus saith the Lord" for an experience? Of course, we go to the same place. And so often His answer to us is simply, "Trust me. Know that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Know that I will not allow your trial to be greater than you can bear. Believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. If you can do this, then you can be calm in troubles. You can be at peace under pressure. And you can be joyful in pain." Brethren, let's tell the Lord daily that we trust Him, daily in our privileges of prayer with Him. And now, as we sing together with the use of hymn number 263, "Simply Trusting." And after the hymn, we would again like to offer a prayer. Ask Brother Ted if you would. Offer prayer of thanksgiving for the privilege of the high calling and for the Lord's daily leadings in our lives as sheep.
Thank you. Our loving Father in heaven, we come to thee with gratitude in our hearts for the privilege that thou hast given us of knowing thee, of becoming thy sons, of running for the prize of the high calling. We thank thee that thou hast given us the privilege of coming to thee in prayer, to come to thee with our weaknesses, knowing how far short we fall of doing thy will. We thank thee for the privilege of coming to thee when thou permits us to have victories over the world, the flesh, or the adversary. We thank thee for thy assurance and thy promises that thou wilt surely continue to hear our prayer and that thou wilt answer us in thy due time. Help us to be more mindful of thy overruling providences in all of our affairs, to look to thee not only in the great matters of life, but also in the little affairs of every day, that we might continue to bring before thee our praise and our thanks and our difficulties, knowing that thou art mindful of our every walk with thee, our every care and our every trial that we have. We pray for more of thy Spirit to dwell with us, that we might appreciate what thou hast done for us, and that we might strive more diligently to be good examples to those with whom we have to deal. And we continually bring before thee our brethren that are in special need, and pray that thou will continue to guide and direct them according to thy wisdom. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I like that picture of the swan with the little swanlings, or whatever you call them, the baby swan sitting on its back. They're perfectly content and satisfied, and they have the sense of security and in the knowledge that they know their mother is going to protect them and be with them. And I think that's a beautiful way that we can be content and secure in our Father's protection as he gathers us as chickens under his wings. Our last area we will briefly touch on this evening is our gratitude for a knowledge of the truth. Isn't it a blessing to know that there's no eternal torment? Isn't it a blessing to know that the kingdom is in the process of being established? Isn't it a blessing to know that the knowledge of the second presence has brought us away from the crumbling nominal systems? That the restoration of Israel is part of God's prophecies being fulfilled, and it's a truth that you can reach out and touch, and it brings hope for the kingdom during this generation. The doctrines of the ransom and the sin offering show us so many aspects of God's character. David states it very well in Psalms 40 when he says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." With that hope, we thrill to the prospects that he's promised that will come. We thrill to the prospects of the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. A government that not only in its ideals are beautiful, but in its reality is equally as beautiful. It will invite all those who will to come to the waters of life and drink freely. That vision of the New Jerusalem should be as real to us as anything on this earth. It should fill us with a zeal and determination to work for it, to work for the kingdom, to work for the coming of the New Jerusalem. What a vision we have, what a hope, and what a cause to live for. Brethren, let's not faint in the weariness of the day, but ever press onward towards the kingdom, because its reality is very near. And what a privilege we have of living in the gospel age harvest, when the evidences are so profound all around us, they make the truth that much more real. Brethren, we have so much to be thankful for. I'm sure we could go on with this for hours and hours. We thank him for what he is, for what he has given, for what he has planned. We thank him for our families, for the brethren, for calling us to be his children, for directing our affairs as a shepherd with his sheep. And we thank him, too, that he has made himself approachable by us through prayer. We echo the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 13:15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's close our evening together by singing together the Holy City. Again, a picture of the New Jerusalem. And at the conclusion of the hymn, we'd like to call on Brother Russ Martin if he would close our meeting with prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day and this evening that Thou hast set apart for us to meet together, to fellowship together, to study a portion of Thy Word, and to